Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we're talking about the monster that challenged the world.
1957.
A.K.A. the monsters that challenged a small lake town.
Right.
Yeah.
I was doing the same thing.
Yeah. So in the movie, in the opening credits, it said that someone wrote it. I don't know who. But it was based on an idea by David Duncan.
Okay.
Who I am assuming thought it up while on a trip to the Salton Sea. Because it was weirdly specific. They kept talking about the Salton Sea.
Yeah, well, is there a Navy base on the Salton Sea? I don't know. But it was all of it. It's, I don't know, this whole, that it's a parachute testing ground that they test parachutes on it.
I guess that would make, is the lake like full of salt? Because I know that usually means things float a lot easier. So that would make sense, right? I guess it would be easier to recover stuff.
For buoyancy?
I guess. Sure. I don't know. I have no idea.
Sure. And it's a soft thing to land on, I guess.
Yeah. You know what is cool about this that I realized while watching it is these American sort of B sci-fi monster movies. They don't do what the Japanese movies do, which is like giant monsters tearing down model cities.
No.
But they build giant puppets.
Yes.
Which I'm pretty cool with.
Oh, you're saying...
Like look at like the movie we saw where they, them.
Where they spend the money on the puppets being big versus... The Japanese spend the money on the buildings being big.
I guess. It's like the Americans are more interested in giant bugs as opposed to giant building-eating monsters. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess we haven't really seen a lot of these. Like, we've seen the Blob, and we've seen them, and then this.
Yeah.
I think are kind of the Americanized, like, American monster movies that we've seen. And I just realized that they kind of have that theme where it's just giant puppets as opposed to kaiju. Like there's no
costumes.
Yeah, but there's no I guess the giant claw had a little bit of that.
That's our Rodan.
Shit, perfect. That's what I always wanted.
This says a lot.
Now I'd never really, I haven't seen this movie before. And
no, I always would. I'd skip it because it looks like it's a caterpillar.
Yeah,
and I was like, I don't really get the caterpillar appeal or the scariness of a caterpillar.
Yeah,
but
the reason why the reason why we watched it, usually we just kind of before we record our episodes, kind of decide what we want to watch next. Someone on our YouTube page suggested this movie.
Great.
After they saw, I believe Space Amoeba, they said, oh, you got to check this out. And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? I don't think I would ever pick it on my own. But I'm glad I watched it.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. Especially one aspect to it. Well, first of all, it's not a caterpillar, as it turns out.
But.
It looks like a caterpillar.
But it is.
Yeah.
They definitely like going, it's a mollusk.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't see it. Until the end.
Yeah, they did a thing where like they were really trying to make snails look scary.
Yeah.
They're like running all that footage of snails devouring things.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, yeah, but they're snails. They don't scare me.
And I don't think they would survive in salt water.
Well, they are sea snails.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
They do. Those do exist.
Oh, going back a little bit, the font.
It's a good question. I never thought about that. How do you fight those guys?
Yeah.
Go on.
The font for the movie, like with the title of the monster that challenged the world.
Yeah.
It was just like a regular, like Times Roman numeral font. Yeah. Like it was just like boring.
Yeah.
I was waiting for it, especially with the buildup where it was like, it looked like it was the sun setting, but it was the title and it came, you know, this blob like coming towards the screen. I'm like, ooh, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a big kind of goopy, spooky font. And it was just like normal.
Yeah, it definitely has to be like a thing that the monster that challenged the world probably wasn't the script title.
No, and, it was a placeholder or something.
And then they went, they said, all right, I got to put this out. All right, this is the Moloch's doesn't work. The monster, and they're like, and it's like, that conquered, it didn't, no, come on, just didn't quite conquer. Challenge, you know, it's like, the monster that stumped us for a moment.
Yeah, I guess it was challenging.
Very, like, yeah.
It, I mean, okay, listen, if you're to go head-to-head against this, it seems like it sucked. Because you would get shriveled.
Yeah.
That sucks. But I think for the most part, if you kept your distance, it's a snail. It's going to go pretty slow.
Yeah, it seems, yeah, that it was hard to figure out how easy it is to puncture it, but I know caterpillars and snails are really soft bodied, and they didn't kind of address like the like how whatever how thick his skin was.
Yeah, his eye isn't that thick.
No,
and the eye, it killed that one, right? The movie's kind of tough because they keep saying them, but we only see one at a time,
right?
So I don't think we ever see more than one at a time, except for when the production finally finished working on their submerged snail shells and put those in at the end.
Right. But we still, then only one of them lifts up and takes a peek.
Yeah. So it was, it's like the title knew that it was only one monster when the movie was trying to convince us it was more than one.
Yeah.
It wasn't until they showed like different ones at different locations. I mean, clearly the same puppet, but didn't know that there was more than one.
I had some acting issues with this movie. No one on the phone had someone else on the phone. Like you could,
people were just responding to
people. They were just saying stuff. People were responding to, like, not even giving anybody time to say something on the other end, and just responding to them. And there's also a lot of scenes where it's like, the actors were there waiting to act. We're like, there's like just certain things that look so staged.
Yeah.
Like the guy walks in the door of the morgue and the people are standing there. And then he walks in the door and they're just standing still. And as soon as he walks in, they go, so what you're saying is blah, 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 you know?
Yeah.
Or like the guy who's like pretending to be doing something at the file cabinet, and then he walks around to the desk so that the camera moves and follows him to the other guy.
I guess I don't notice stuff like that.
I do. So Flutter Boy,
yep,
calling Land Radio. At first, I thought it was Butter Boy, but the people who are going to pick up the guy who's testing the parachute, and then. A lot of white goop in this.
Yep, the worm shoots goo.
There's a really weird awkward bit of the white goop. Like, they find white goop on the boat, but there's that guy who was walking around, and he's panicking because his girl is gone. Maybe monster took him. Maybe he did something. We're not going to get into that because, as far as the movie goes, something happened to his girl and it's probably supposed to be the monster. But his shirt's like open, and when he collapses and falls, the cop's hand is in his shirt.
Oh.
The cop, like, kind of like, is like, his hand, like, as if, like, by accident, on purpose, slips into the guy's shirt, and he's touching his chest, which is where the white goop is, and he notices white goop, but he stuck his hand in his shirt.
Oops.
I did like the faces of the people who got
shriveled
by the monster.
Hollister.
When Hollister first pops up, and like his face, the way the eyes are, and the snarl on it, those are really fun, cool sculpts, and they look really cool underwater. Same thing when you see Jody again after she mates her fate.
Yeah.
And she's all shriveled too. When Jody came on, I was like, oh man, Jody is so bad.
Bad, like a bad, like, teenager.
Yeah, she's a bad girl.
Yeah. I like Jody.
Yeah, me too. The always like the when you look up people in IMDb, and it's always great when their profile picture in IMDb is a still with a monster in the movie you're watching.
Yeah, there's two. There two of the actresses had the had the monster.
Other one,
in it.
I think, was the woman who played the wife of the guy who, when the two divers, one of them got it.
I think the daughter too, the little girl.
Oh yeah,
the little girl with the There's a lot of things that really didn't make sense in this movie. But the little girl with her ladybug.
Yes.
Because like, she kept talking about her ladybug. And I'm like, oh, wait, maybe the monster is a ladybug. But it wasn't.
Or like it would convert.
I don't know. I didn't know. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, it's, ladybug's very special, very important. It was, I was just kind of thinking like, you know, you can buy ladybugs. Like a,
what?
Yeah, you can buy like a, like a, it's like a small cottage cheese container of ladybugs.
Is it for like feeding frogs or something?
It's so like if you have like, like I remember when I was growing tomatoes, someone suggested trying ladybugs, and like you, it's for like the aphids that are on the leaves, and like you open it up and suddenly ladybugs are everywhere. You're covered with ladybugs all over your arms.
Oh.
You're supposed to like release, because you keep them in like a fridge, so they're like, they're slow.
Okay.
And you're supposed to release them at night, but California nights are still so warm in the summertime, it just, they just kind of went everywhere.
I had no idea.
So they wiped the goop and they kept it in like a cigarette case. They're like, hey, here's the stuff.
That yeah, well, I don't know what that was.
I was like, okay, so I wrote, science is the bad guy. It's like at first you're like, oh, this scientist is like being like, sure, it has nothing to do with what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, is it going to be one of those kind of stories? And it wasn't. Like you're kind of like waiting to set up like, cover-ups or something, but that didn't happen.
Yeah, I feel like there was a lot of stuff set up that wasn't, there's no payoff for.
Right.
A big one later on, a big one later on that really, really let me down, which I'll talk about when we get there.
The, oh yeah, the white stuff, they refer to it as a simple marine secretion.
Okay. That sounds gross.
Oh, there's a lot of like classic cliche tropes. I don't know if these weren't so cliche back in the day, but like the morgue guy offering sandwiches that he keeps in the drawer.
Yeah.
And
they're still cold.
There's also like, I also liked, there's like some parts that reminded me of Jaws. Like, he was like, we got to close these beaches. Only there's only one guy who complains.
Yeah. And then he never comes up again.
That's it.
And you don't really hear about them closing the beaches as far as it affecting anyone else.
Right.
Well, except Jody and her boyfriend, who look like Norm MacDonald. The doctor, Collins, I think, is, I recognized his voice. He was Captain Hook in Peter Pan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, the head doctor guy with the eyebrow.
Cool.
With
the, I didn't notice that. Eyebrow. He had a his like his IMDb picture seemed kind of like had a little extra flamboyancy, but I figured he was like his character actor. Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Captain Hook. Okay, so I got excited because the they send divers down underwater.
Yeah, and these divers swim really close to each other.
Yeah,
like I felt like.
In case one of them drowns and they need to grab him by the
chest.
They
were definitely like almost like hitting each other's arms. Like they're head swim so close to stay in the frame, it seemed like.
Oh, yeah. But they found this big underwater, what looked like a balloon.
Yeah, yeah,
but exactly. At first I was like, oh, cool. They made like a egg prop or something. But then I was like, oh, it's just a balloon. But then it turns out it was an egg.
Right.
And
I thought it was like a parachute of one of the guys that... got lost.
But that's when we get our first look at the monster. What do you think of this guy?
He looks like a big caterpillar. I mean, yeah. I think the shininess of the eyes are cool. I like that the pincers move.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely like a big, solid chunk that doesn't move. It's kind of like, seems like just like the little bits of extremities can move.
I think the best stuff happens later on when it's actually like inside the... not the police station, the lab.
Yeah.
Like just cause it's like, it reminded me of like the Queen Alien or something. It's like just a big goofy puppet.
I did like when Blake had his head in the monster's pincers.
Oh, and, yeah. And then it shriveled like its head.
There's cool violence. I mean, there's definitely some stuff in there. There's stuff in there that was scary. I actually had like a little moment where like I kind of jumped inside.
I jumped at one point too. The guy, the keeper of the dam or the bridge or whatever.
Yeah. It comes up from the side.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good yeah. scare moment.
I think this movie, all the shriveling was awesome, but seeing the Blake's head in the thing and see it actual shrivel, live, that was great.
I wrote the monster's a pretty good puppet. All the underwater footage is just kind of kept reminding me of the submarine ride at Disneyland.
Yeah, but I really like the submarine ride. there's something about that, like frogmen and monsters and stuff, like.
Yeah.
That's something we don't see a lot of anymore.
Actually, I take it back. The animatronics, because so much of it was like animatronic puppet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is quite good. It, you know, what the monster is like a really cool animatronic from like a dark ride.
Yeah. It sits in one spot that you can pass by and look at.
You go by it and it does all the movement and stuff. That's its thing.
It's like that snake in the Indiana Jones ride. At Disneyland.
Yeah.
That big giant one.
Yeah, that swings around.
Did you write down the note that Dr. Connors at the Radio Shack?
No.
Oh, I did. I thought that was funny. But he attacks in the boat, and it kind of looks silly outside of the boat, because it's like, how is it floating?
Yeah.
It's all the way outside of the water. They could barely reach it with the stick to poke its eye. Oh, but before that, there's another guy that dies. That doesn't get shriveled. He has a stroke, and he dies from being skeezy. He gets scared to death.
Right.
But that dude, when he sees the monster and is yelling, is hilarious. Because he was just like, wasn't really like scared. But they gouge the eye out, and it seems like they kill the monster. And then the rest of the movie, they're pretty much like, I don't know if there's more of them. I think we got them all, except for this egg we found. So it's kind of up in the air where they don't know if there's more in the water or not. But right. They take the egg and they stick it in a temperature-controlled
bath. Yeah.
And the egg won't hatch because they set it to a certain temperature.
Right.
And then they said, as long as nobody touches this knob, and it's like a really flimsy knob that literally anybody's going to touch. And I'm like, okay, this is someone's definitely going to touch that knob before this movie's done. Of course, that ends up happening.
Yeah, it was so much setup, too, on the little girl coming to touch the knob, because she's like, she wants to go visit the rabbits, and her mom keeps telling her no over and over again. Until eventually she sneaks away to do it.
Yeah. We're in this facility where everything is top secret. Even the wives don't know what's going on. So everything's super top secret, but a little girl could wander into the rabbit room and touch the knob of the thing. There's a couple of points where Connie, her husband dies. I think her husband is the one that gets shriveled. Yes. Hollister, I think.
George Blake.
Oh,
no,
George
it's
Blake.
Connie Blake and George Blake.
Okay, and they keep asking the receptionist that works in the lab if Connie's all right. And Connie, they keep saying, yeah, Connie's all right. But she's, like, pregnant and just lost her husband. Like, how is she all right? She's really never seen from again.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, I don't remember the characters' names. There's a date.
Most uncomfortable date scene ever.
Well, yeah, but the first thing they say is that he knows a Mexicali restaurant, a really good Mexicali restaurant. And my note is, it better not be racist.
Oh, no.
Okay. So they end up going to this restaurant. And there's a couple of things. We'll talk about the boy in a second.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about my first disappointment in this movie. Something that I was there for some reason, the dude leaves the general or the whatever guy. He leaves the date to go. I don't know what he does. Goes on the phone or something.
He has to deal with something.
He leaves the dinner table, and she gets up and walks over to a wishing well, a big ass giant wishing well. That looks like the perfect size for that monster to come out of. And it doesn't happen.
Well, you thought that it would somehow, an egg would have gone into this well inside a Mexican restaurant.
Well, they kept talking about they didn't
Mexicali
know.
Mexicali restaurant.
Well, here's the thing. later on in the movie, they're talking about the water systems and they're talking about wells, and the museum curator says, oh, it's in Spanish. And I'm like, okay, Mexicali restaurant, wells, now it's going to come out of the
thing and eat
the people. It never happened. Why did she go up to that well? What was the purpose of that scene? Did they plan on having them come out of this?
I don't get that scene at all. There's no payoff. It's like there's something about this need they felt to create
a love story,
a romantic thing between just some dude, really dry kind of characters. There was just not much going on there. The whole bit, how like the general guy's all like awkward all the time.
Yeah. And when the scene ended, I'm like, okay, so what does this pen have to do with anything? Is he going to do something with the pen? I was like, maybe he's going to stab the thing in the eye that comes out of the well.
Oh, that's a good point.
Nothing in that scene mattered at all.
It's so weird. It's like, it's kind of like, it's almost felt like, it's more than a Mexicali restaurant. It's like a Mexican like experience restaurant. You know, like you feel like it's like, oh, the kid gets his money and then runs off, and they're like, oh, he took my money, and you're like, it's like this is what the writers envision a trip to like Tijuana is like.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I was like, oh, then there'll be a kid coming around selling gum or something. You know, it just kind of felt like that. And then the kid comes back and you're like, oh, you see, he was honest after all.
Yeah.
How about that brown guy?
They taught us a lesson.
Yeah. So the museum curator, he was that weird guy who kept complaining about there was no room.
Oh my gosh. Okay, first of all, I loved it. So first of all, they show an establishing shot of the museum. And I'm like, okay, we're at a museum. And then they cut to the interior. And in the foreground, he has a calendar of a hunky Native American with his shirt off. Now, and this dude is eccentric, and I kept saying, this dude better get eaten. He kept complaining that he wasn't getting the proper funding for an extra wing of the museum or something. He's like, oh, I'd help you guys, but I don't have a place to put all this stuff. It's like he was trying to get them to reverse some sort of vote on giving them extra money to expand the museum or something. I was waiting for that guy to get eaten. That didn't pay off either.
It was great, because then like I was like, there was definitely a lot of like, they threw a lot of character people in these.
Well, and that's another,
there's also like the operator who's always on the phone with her mom.
Yeah,
like her whole bit is that. And then they have this moment where like they, oh Jesus, I just got so scared. I didn't realize my dog was under my desk. And then she touched my foot. there's a part where the whole time we cut to her, she's like, I gotta go, mom, there's, you know, whatever. So she's always on the phone with her mom, and then there's another guy then says like, yeah, I tried calling, but the line was busy.
So they set up the restaurant, they set up the museum, and then like the operator and stuff, there's all these people, and I'm like, okay, we're going to see all these people come together and get terrorized or challenged by this monster. But they really don't. None of them really do. I think really the only people that get challenged by the monster are the lady and the daughter. And then the general guy comes in and, you know, saves
them. Yeah, the Navy guys get challenged.
Yeah.
Because they're like, what do we do?
And then just like in Jaws, another Jaws reference, there's a couple of kids playing in the pond.
Yeah.
That's like attached to the thing. And I'm right. Like, okay, this had better pay off. I kept writing, this better get paid off in my notes.
You know what else I didn't get? Was the attitude of the other diver when the general guy is going to, we should figure out what that guy's name is, when he is going to go do the dive with him. And he's like, are you ready? And that guy like snaps him and be like, are you? And it's like, what? What's that guy's problem? Huh. And then later he apologizes to him about it.
Hmm.
And he's like, hey, oh, he apologizes to him because there was like the whole thing about, this is when they're going down to blow up the shells.
Yeah. Commander Twillinger is the dude. Commander Twillinger.
And he's like, oh, Hey, sorry about what happened down there. I wrote, I think it's safe to say this is the same dive footage of the previous scene.
Oh, I didn't notice. I might have been taking notes.
Oh, you know, so it was also what was funny was like the underwater acting close-ups. So it's like there's like the dive footage was like something that they had to like get some B-roll or some real divers do it. And then they had the guys in like some kind of like water tank doing close-ups of like
their faces and reactions.
Yeah. And pretending that they're doing something.
Did you notice every time they went to talk, it cut away?
Right.
Yeah. Like they couldn't even fake that. they would just put his hand up to his mask and then it would cut away to hear them talking. I like the giant snail shells.
The giant snail shells were pretty good. That was very submarine voyage.
Yeah, giant underwater props are fun. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is where they started talking about the wells on the map. They talk about, you know, the different waterways and the wells, and then it's in Spanish. The map is in Spanish.
Oh, right.
So I'm like, wells? Spanish? Mexicali restaurant? There is a well in there. Nah, it didn't happen. I was kind of bummed. It feels like that well was so giant, too, that it was built to stick the monster in there. my next note is they keep talking about them, but we've only seen one at a time.
Mm-hmm. I'm at the lab now at this stage. In my notes, I'm ready for like the big end at the lab.
Yeah, I'm ready. This, speaking of another thing that didn't pay off. So there's this lab, and there's a gigantic snail. In the lab terrorizing, and he's got the kid and Gail are trapped in the broom closet. Now
first I want to say it's like when they go back, all the rabbits are gone.
Yeah. Did it eat all
the
rabbits?
The monster ate all the rabbits.
Yeah. How it got it out of the little holes, I don't know. It doesn't have hands.
But yeah, okay, so they run and hide in the closet.
And Twill has a couple of options hanging on the wall.
Okay. Right.
He has
first thing he starts doing, he just starts grabbing chemicals. He just has like a bunch of like flasks and beakers and stuff of chemicals and just starts throwing random chemicals at it.
Cool. I'm cool with that.
But it's all right. They're handy. Because we see over his shoulder in the back there is a big fire axe.
Yes. And this isn't like on location. This is a set that was built. And the production designer decided to put an axe right there on the wall.
This is the classic theater trope. Like, if you're going to put a gun in a scene, it has to fire.
Yeah. So he grabs the fire extinguisher.
He's like, and then come back. And he's like, all right, here we go. Now it's going to happen. And he comes back with, of all things, a fire extinguisher, which we hadn't seen yet.
No. No. And it's not like the blob where it was established that it hates cold. Well, I guess the cold kept it from hatching, but now that it's hatched, it's not established. But no. It is established that if you have a stick, you could poke its eye out and kill it.
Yeah, that we know.
So don't use the pointy
object. And it's also established that it's technically a mollusk. Uh-huh. And I'm pretty sure an axe beats mollusk, but you know what it is. I bet what it is like going, oh no, don't you cut my big caterpillar, don't do damage to my big caterpillar puppet.
You already messed up one eyeball, that's all you guys get.
Yeah, I mean, I can always, those are light bulbs, we just screw them back in. But and he also, not only does he use the fire extinguisher on him, he then, as if the fire extinguisher was a gun, after he runs out of stuff, he throws a fire extinguisher at it.
Yeah.
Again, so weird. Still has the option to grab the axe, but instead decides to pull a hose, some kind of steam hose.
Oh, yeah, he pulls it out of the floor.
And starts steaming the giant caterpillar.
I thought it was some kind of like nitrous or nitrous oxide or something. Maybe it was connected to the tank to keep it cold.
I just thought it was steam because it was like he wrapped that thing around it too so he could hold it easier. I thought it was being hot.
Well, it wasn't an axe. I know that.
It was so wrinkly. He had to smooth that guy out.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe he's steaming it so that they can all eat him later.
Ugh. No, I guess people do that in France. I guess other parts of the world too.
You know, I love when children are in peril and the adults with them tell them to just close your eyes. Yeah. You know, it's like, just close your eyes. Don't worry about the screaming when that happens or anything. You know, it's like, don't worry, just close your eyes.
Meanwhile, she's yelling like a maniac. I enjoyed watching the bug chew through the janitor door.
Yeah.
I thought that looked cool.
Destroying the wood. That was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
He kills it.
He kills
it. And then it's like, okay. And they're like, you're fine, honey, to the little girl. It's like, yeah, you're not traumatized at all.
Yeah. There was a portion where the divers, they were putting charges down on the two shells that were underwater.
Yeah.
And the scientists were like, you have 20 seconds, get out of there. Like, they're really building up the suspense. And then they get out of the water. Right. And then they just kind of like cut away to an explosion somewhere. And then that was kind of it. A little anticlimactic on that one. Like, I was expecting these guys to like barely get out of the water as it exploded around it, but no.
Right. Yeah, the whole thing where like, it's like, what's the problem down there? You couldn't pull the pin out of that last one.
Yeah. But I mean, once the explosion goes off, he can just go right back in and get the other one. I don't
know. Yeah, because what's he going to do? Make a break for it?
What'd you think of this one? I enjoyed it. I thought
it was all right. I liked the monster design. If we were going to make a separate list of just like these kind of black and white American driving movies, them, I think, is still tops.
But I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. It was, it's kind of a right down the middle sort of, it's a B monster movie.
Yeah. The thought of that creature on a ride would be really fun.
Yeah.
Like going by him and seeing him.
How great would that be?
It'd be really cool. Like there is like this, there is a maze at Knott's Scary Farm that was the Peter Pumpkin Eater one. Mm-hmm. And there's a part where you pass by what's like this giant animatronic bug. And it's pretty fun. They're pretty cool.
That'd be cool if there was like a big B-movie dark ride with different rooms with different monsters from all of them. So you have like a them room and a Monster that Challenges the World room and a Blob room.
Yeah, that would, to do it thematically, that would be really cool. Like all like RKO movies or whatever.
Yeah, like the history of, and make them all black and white.
Yeah. Like grayscale, like painted, good old like, grayscale.
Yeah, painted all grayscale.
Cool. That's a cool idea.
That would probably mess with your eyes, like going through that, like just looking at it like that. That'd be pretty cool.
Did you ever go through that dark ride maze that they did at Knott's on Halloween?
The last time I went was with you, and we hit everything.
I don't think Dark Ride was there yet. I think it was the year after. But they do one that's like you're going through a dark ride that's shut down, that's like broken.
Oh.
And so as you walk through it, you kind of, somebody's got to walk around the little cars
that
are like
that.
You would go with a ride. And then different animatronics like start moving and start going off at certain times and stuff. It was pretty good.
Sounds cool. Yeah, I don't have much more to say about this one.
Yeah, me
either. It was enjoyable. It's an easy watch.
Yeah,
which is nice. We there's a lot of movies that challenge us. Things like Gamera's Super Monster, but it's a nice, easy. I would suggest like maybe a Sunday afternoon, like a lazy Sunday afternoon. If you're watching like a monster double feature, this is a good one to watch. I think it would be fun to watch this and them together. But maybe more of these in the future because it's fun. It's interesting.
Yeah,
these
also, I mean, there's a little bit, I was trying to think, was there any anti-nuke message in this one?
No, I didn't really see any message in it. I don't remember.
Was it just a random earthquake?
Yeah.
That opened up the cave.
And then the Geiger reading and nothing really.
Yeah, it was right. It was a prehistoric. It was a prehistoric mouse because it was the bit. They were shouting it. They were mentioning different names and stuff. And I was trying to Google them, but the names are so weird, hard to figure out exactly how to spell. But
I guess
it was all right.
Yeah, I guess it's good. Not all movies need a message. Which is rare for the movies we watch. Speaking of which, let's talk about our next episode. We are going back to Gamera.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, Gamera, Guardian of the Universe. And kind of, we've been watching Gamera's in order, and we've been kind of chomping at the bit to make it through here.
Get to something modern. I mean, it's a big jump. right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the last one was 1980, so it was 15 years before that, and that one was just a clip movie. So it was probably more like 20 years. No more clips to be had because
1980, but feels like 1970.
So that'll be the next one. You could watch that on kaijupod.com. It'll also have links to our YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. So check that out there. And then until next time, I'm going to go check out this Mexicali restaurant.
Next time, you can swim again. Huh? Go to the beach.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're like, hey, you can swim again. That's the good news.
Well, I mean, I guess.
The bad news is you were traumatized. Good news is you can swim again.
I guess. And have ladybug. Because they said they didn't, after they killed the first one, they weren't sure that there were more. But at the end, when they destroy the two of them, how are they sure there aren't more? I don't know. I don't want to go swimming. Go swim in that giant ass wishing well. In the Mexicali restaurant. Pick up a couple pins. All right.
Go swim looking for shriveled up faces.
Ooh. Those divers found Jody's shriveled up face.
Jody was really, Oh yeah. The girl that the guy who had spooge on his chest was Mary Jane. Cause he was walking by going, Mary Jane, Mary Jane. And the guy puts sand in his chest.
Rubs it in.
All right. Got some sunscreen. You haven't wiped rubbed in enough. Let me help you with that.
All right.
You know something, Sandy? You can go swimming again.
Can?
Yes, ma'am. You can.